The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In today's readings, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. This is the farewell discourse found in John's Gospel, starting with chapter 14 and running through the end of chapter 17. It's also helpful sometimes to think about this farewell discourse as a resurrection appearance, right? We're in the season of Easter, and Jesus seems to know things in this farewell discourse that only the resurrected Lord could know. Now, how can this happen? Well, John the Evangelist is putting together his gospel maybe 60 years or more after the death of Jesus. And so they've had a whole long time to reflect on who Jesus is and to experience the Holy Spirit and the power of the risen Lord in their presence, walking with them. So Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know the way." And Thomas is like, "Huh?" It's different to like say, "I'm going to California." Right? You all have an image of that. I don't tell you that I'm getting in my car, driving to the airport, taking off my shoes, going through security, getting on an Alaska Airlines jet to go to Juneau, to get off, to get on another jet, to go to Ketchikan, to get off, to get back on another jet and go to Seattle, and then finally, maybe from Seattle into San Jose or Los Angeles. Right? That's the how I'm getting there. The destination is a different question. Jesus is talking about both of them today, and no wonder Thomas is a little confused. Jesus is talking about this destination with his Father, this heavenly kingdom where he's prepared a mansion, or other translations, a house or an abode, a dwelling. One translation I saw said, "There's plenty of room. Everyone is welcome to God's kingdom." So Jesus has a destination in mind, but he also wants to show how to get there in the minute detail. And that minute detail of how to get there is the way. The early church referred to itself as followers, not of Jesus, and not as Christians, but followers or practitioners of the way. Where did they get this? They stole it from their Jewish brothers and sisters, right? Following the Torah and keeping the law was following the way of all truth and wisdom. And now they just follow the way of Jesus. So how do we do this? Well, we have some hints in the first two readings. In the first reading, we notice that as the early church grew up, it had particular growing pains. As more and more Greek-speaking members joined the Jewish or Aramaic-speaking members, there seemed to be some inequalities. That never happens in today, right? When new language group moves to town or if their people are slightly different. So things haven't really improved. But when it was brought to the attention of the apostles, they said, let's do something about this. So they asked for people that were already probably doing the work, right? Stephen and Philip and his companions were already working in the community. They didn't like put up a wanted sign saying, you know, deacons needed, apply, go through 6 years of formation. No, they found people that were already doing the work, already filled with the Spirit, and set them apart for a particular role in the church. Luke uses the word servant, or diaconia, which becomes the word deacon in English. The deacons and the local bishop, right, the local successor to the apostle, were all that there was in the early church, maybe for the first four centuries. Only after the Edict of Constantine, when Christianity became okay and eventually became the official religion of the Roman Empire, did we have the presbyterate, or priests, coming about. Normally, every city just had one bishop and some deacons to help. And we see this recorded in the martyrology, the record of the martyrs. Often, who's martyred is the bishop and his four deacons, or the bishop and his six deacons. So, thankfully, I'm neither deacon nor bishop. But what we have in the early church are some wonderful witnesses on how to live out the way. We have in the first reading today that the daily distribution of food needed to be more equitably distributed along Greek and Hebrew lines. And so the Greek-speaking deacons start doing that. They also start preaching, which gets Stephen in trouble, which has him stoned to death, have him forgive his assassins, murderers, from under the stones, right? Father, forgive them. He says the same words that Jesus says, and the church is kind of thrown out of Jerusalem. My history professor said that was probably the best thing to ever happen to the Catholic Church, was to get thrown out of Jerusalem. Otherwise, it may not have ever spread that far. They were pretty comfortable sitting in their homes, but once you're homeless, you have motivation to make friends in new towns and to share the new life you have in Christ. Now, what did these deacons do? They cared for the poor. Does anybody know the story of St. Lawrence, the deacon? Oh, you get to learn about a new saint today. It's pretty exciting. I love St. Lawrence. He was mischievous and a bit of a mouth. So his bishop and four of his deacons got martyred by the local Roman emperor. And they kept Lawrence alive because they thought he could bring, the Romans thought that he would, they actually forced him under duress to bring the church's treasure. And Lawrence said, well, we've got a lot of treasure, emperor. It's going to take me 3 or 4 days. Is that okay? And the emperor's like, yeah, bring it on. So 3 or 4 days later, Lawrence shows up with all of the city's poor. Destitute, lepers, cripples, orphans, widows. And you can see how this would be really endearing to the Roman emperor, who was looking for gold, silver, jewels, property. So they decide to barbecue Lawrence for his rash behavior. And so when you see an image of him, he's holding like a barbecue grill. just kind of odd. So what happens next is, while Lawrence is getting barbecued, he quips, and we have this in the record of eyewitnesses, I'm done on this side, turn me over. And it just shows that he was in an entirely different place, living in God's grace and doing God's will, so that the pain that was going on to his body and eventually take his life made really no difference to him, and he could still be funny, which probably made his persecutors even a little more angry. Why could he do this? Because he was a living stone. Just as 1 Peter describes, right? You are living stones. Let yourself be built up into the church. Jesus is a living cornerstone, set apart to hold the whole structure together. Or in other places, he's the capstone at the top of the arch. But what is the qualities of a stone? Right? Solid, stable, think of bedrock, think of firm foundation. Peter, right? You're on this rock, I will build my church. But there's another quality, living. And by Peter placing these two together, we have a foundation that can adapt and change to a new situation. Do you see the beauty of that image? We have a foundation in our faith that it can adapt and change to a new situation. We come up with new situations all the time, right? Jesus never knew that stem cell research was even possible. So he probably didn't say anything about it in the Bible, right? Or travel to other planets or whatever, right? There was lots of things that Jesus never commented on because they didn't exist at that time. But he gave us a solid foundation in our faith that's also living and adapting to new situations. That's how we can be those living stones. That's how we can be built up into the church that God intends, is by doing very simple things like St. Lawrence did, or those early deacons, caring for those in need. So that's our job, right? To love God and to love neighbor as passionately as God loves us.